Looking once again in the book of Exodus this evening. Book of Exodus, chapter 20. I said a few weeks ago about not sure how long, how many parts will be to this particular commandment, but this week I was tempted just to lay it aside and continue on, but I felt like the Lord was saying, no, I want you to continue with this particular commandment, going a little bit further. And I said last Sunday, and I said it in not really jokingly, but in sort of a jest. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm going to take those gift certificates to Velma's and use them on Sunday. The conviction is mine, and it doesn't matter what anybody else does. I'm not doing that. So if you went home last Sunday wondering if I was going to be using those, I'm not on a Sunday. I am using them, but I believe with all of my being there's something special about the Lord's Day. Exodus chapter 20, I'll read just the same verses, beginning with verse number 8. And before we do, would you bow your head with me as we ask God's help? Father, we come to you tonight in thankfulness and come to you with praise in our heart. We come to you with a humbleness in our heart as well when we recognize all that you did for us. All that you do for us. This Christmas season is a special season, a special time of the year, and we're reminded of your coming, that you came to go to the cross, that you came to shed and to give light. And we thank you for that light that the ladies sang about tonight. As we open up your word here in the Old Testament, in this passage of Scripture that is often overlooked, I pray that for your divine anointing, your divine strength, your help to the listener as well as to the speaker. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Before I get any further into that particular passage, I want to remind you of one simple verse that Jesus gives us, that Matthew recorded for us in chapter number 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Another thought that I want you to be reminded of, especially in relationship to this particular commandment, but it can be applied to any one of them or anything, that if we don't like something, if we don't want to do something, or if you want me to become more personal and say, if you don't want to do anything, you can call it legalism. You can draw the line anywhere you want to on legalism, but that does not make it legalism. It does not make it legalistic. Obedience to God is not legalistic. Unless you have developed it in your mind and in your heart that you are doing this to buy your salvation. But if you're saved and you read God's word and you see what God wants you to do as a follower of Christ, that's obedience. That's obedience. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Some people grow up with the idea or with the notion that Sunday was the only day that people had left in all of the week to enjoy themselves. You know, there's so many things that are going on every other day of the week. You have to work and you have all these honey-do lists and kids and all sorts of stuff. Sunday's the only day left that people have to enjoy themselves. So, it's easy then with that kind of a mindset to, it's okay to take Sunday and do all of the things on that day that there hasn't been time to do during the week. It's okay to forego going to church and do as one pleases. Whether it's mowing the grass, taking a short trip, visiting the relatives, sleeping late. That's a good one to do on Sunday. It's always a good day to sleep in. Wash the car, wash the truck, wax the boat, whatever. Fix tree stands. You name it, whatever it is that's coming to your mind. But when God saves somebody, when God transforms somebody, when God makes a person a new creature in Christ, did you catch that? They're a new creature in Christ. There's some changes that are supposed to take place. The sad thing is that in church world in general, there is so little change that is being done. They talk about change and they talk about a difference, but there's so little difference. It's hard to find what that difference is. When God saves a person and changes that person, their perception of Sunday should also change, because it's on Sunday, it's on the Lord's Day, it's a special day that's been set aside or set apart for God's glory and for worship of God and for rest of the body. Rest of the, not entertainment for the body, but rest for the body. Of all the Ten Commandments, that there's ten of them that have been given to man. That's, God wrote them on the table of stone. Is that the figure that when God wrote them on stone that they were going to be unchangeable? He didn't write them in the sand so that the wind can blow them away, or the water on the lake or the ocean could wash them away, or the flood come and no, he engraved them in stone. Of all the Ten Commandments, this is the one that is probably... Well, it's not really listed in the New Testament. It's common. It's talked about, but it's not really put forward. It's not repeated the way that it is in the Old Testament. Many have concluded then that since that is the case, that we're no longer under the restrictions of the Sabbath. We are no longer obligated to respect the Lord's day. But if we go to the New Testament and see what it says about Sabbath, there's several times that the Sabbath is mentioned. I'm not sure how many times. I think it's something 60-some times maybe in the New Testament the Sabbath is mentioned. And some of those times we find in the New Testament when Jesus lived and walked this earth, that when the Sabbath is mentioned, it is telling us of the pattern, the usual custom of the Lord to go to the synagogue on that day. That was the pattern. That was the habit. That was what he did. He wasn't taking away from it. He wasn't eliminating it. He did it. This commandment is one of the ten that is not repeated in the New Testament. But you know that there's something else about this one commandment that isn't connected to the other ones. And that is, this commandment was not given first at Mount Sinai, along with the other nine. This commandment was given at the point of creation, at the end of creation, without the other nine. Am I right? Have you read that? Creation, all the things created. God did all of these things. Every day there's something new. And at the end of the day, it was good. At the end of creation, he hallowed, he sanctified, he set aside the seventh day. He hallowed the seventh day. It was instituted from the very beginning of human life, the very beginning of mankind, the very beginning of what we know as time. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. You remember that passage, don't you? I'm not going to read the whole thing. There's quite a lengthy passage there that talks about that. A lot of debate has gone on about what that was all about and how that changes everything. How that really just does away with the principle of the hallowed day. Alexander McLaren had said that it had been decided that plucking the ears was of the nature of reaping, and reaping was work, and work was forbidden. So you can see why there was such a debate about it. There was an argument about it. You can see that. You can understand that. But you see, it's okay to eat on the Sabbath. Somebody else will say, well, there's a lot of work that goes on. There's a lot of work that goes on in the temple. And I've heard it. Preacher, it's the only day of the week you work. It may be the hardest day of the week. Sometimes. But you see, the ministry aspect, the sacrifices that were to be slain, the fires, the lamps that were to be kindled, all the things that were to take place, that was not a desecration of the Sabbath. That was a part of the Sabbath. It was done in the temple. It was a part of the divine service. It was a part of the sanctity of the place. The sanctity of the service, And that was exempted from the operation of the law. And it's still that way in ministry today. Somebody said that the work of the church goes on. Now, I think that we have to be careful with that as well, but that is true. The work of the church goes on. Somebody else will call out, well, there's works of mercy. Mercy jobs. You know, the ox is in the ditch or the lamb's in the ditch, as well as the health of the people. But we can become so calloused about mercy jobs on the Lord's day that we lose sight of the mercy in the job and see only the opportunity for personal gain. Now, I know I'm talking to a bunch of people that have been involved with what is commonly called mercy jobs in health department. And I'm not knocking that in any way unless that has become an opportunity for personal gain rather than the reality of mercy job. That would be a mindset. What is taking place in the mind, losing sight of the value of that mercy. Somebody said, well, if I'm in the hospital, I don't want to have a Christian nurse. Well, I don't know that I would mind having a Christian nurse on Sunday. Now, it might be better if I had an unsaved nurse on if I were in the hospital on Sunday so that I could witness to that person. But on the Lord's day, a Christian nurse could witness to her patients, his patients as well. So we can throw stones back and forth at each other, but we must remember why we're doing what we're doing. What is the purpose? What is the intent? What is the motive behind it? Because once the door for mercy jobs opens up, then we begin to include necessary jobs. Aren't we thankful that we have lights on tonight? Is there somebody somewhere making sure that we have lights on? The power goes out on Saturday night. We'd certainly like to have the power back on before Monday. You know, We can throw stones all over the place about. Let's be careful about the motive of our heart, where we are in relationship to the door of necessity or the job of mercy. Luke chapter 13, verse 10, he was teaching in the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had an spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift her up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her and he said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, now listen to the words of Christ. "Thou hypocrite." Excuse me, Lord. He's just trying to stand up for what he's been taught all of his life, what he teaches about the Sabbath and the reverence of the Sabbath day. What are you saying? Well, listen to what he said. "Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all of his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. We can sum it up by saying, really, this portion we can sum up by saying that money should not be the motive behind doing good on the Sabbath day. Oh, I know the hospital's not going to allow you to work probably in a nursing position for free. What's the motive? Where are we in that? Sabbath day, or the Sunday as we know it and think about it, the Lord's Day, is the day of rest. Now, we go back into the Old Testament, we can understand that man's labor is crucial. Man's labor is crucial. Exodus chapter 20, verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Now, contrary to some belief, work is not a part of the curse. Before man sinned, God had even given work to do in the garden. You remember reading that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15? The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The curse, when the curse took place, we find the addition to he will work by the sweat of his brow. He will toil by the sweat of his brow. Work was already established. Thorns are a part of the curse. Maybe you can understand that some of those weeds are part of the curse. But work wasn't part of the curse. God intended that man should work to earn his livelihood. That was a part from the very beginning. Otherwise, how would it ever have related to mankind for God to work 6 days and rest the seventh if there was never any work for man to do? He intended for people to work. We can find it clearly shown as well in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Dads, that's probably a oft-quoted verse in the bringing up of kids, isn't it? Moms, dads. If it's not, you need to work it in. Yeah, you really do. That if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not as at all, but are busybodies. Well, I could go off. I better not. But are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. You know, that's what Paul says in Thessalonians. In 1 Timothy, he tells Timothy, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith. He's worse than an infidel. You know, he's encouraging that people need to work. He says people need to work. That's a part of life. It was a part of life in the garden before the curse. But the seventh day is the Sabbath. You know, there's a whole bunch of thou shalts. Thou shalt not is what we find. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not. Here is one of the few thou shalts. Did you catch that? This is one of the few of the thou shalts. You say, well, what do you mean? But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou shalt keep. You should keep. That's part of the command here. Thou shalt keep. The Sabbath for rest. Talmage said that our bodies are 7 day clocks and they need to be wound up, and if they are not wound up, they will run down into the grave. Talking about the seventh day. And God didn't give this commandment to interfere with our pleasure, but he gave this commandment to ensure our health. Now today we are not under the bondage of the law, but we are under the liberty of grace. However, God still expects us to maintain that one day from seven is a Sabbath rest for God's glory and for our health. For our health. God has declared this day to be a holy day. And he expects man to keep this day as a holy day. God hasn't changed his mind about the holy day. He still expects man to keep one day out of seven for his glory. Now, I don't know how deep to get into this evening. This is why I thought maybe it would take me a lot longer, and I don't really want to stick around for it another time, but one man shares some insights concerning the Jewish mindset. He said the observance of the Sabbath was strictly observed and strictly enforced, whereas they took God's command to rest on the Sabbath seriously, and as the years passed, they added their own rules and regulations about the Sabbath. He said that there were approximately 1,521 things that were not permissible on the Sabbath. How many of you want me to read all of those? Let me give you a couple. You could not rescue a drowning person on the Sabbath. Well, that's a rough one, isn't it? Untying knots that needed only one hand were permissible, but if two hands were required, it was forbidden. If a man's ox fell into the ditch, he could pull it out, but if the man fell in, he had to stay there. One could take a sup, I don't know what a sup is, but one could take a sup of vinegar for food, but if he took a sup in order to help his aching tooth, he had broken the Sabbath. If a man was bitten by a flea on the Sabbath, he had to allow the flea to keep biting. He was not allowed to stop the flea from biting or killing it. He was guilty of hunting on the Sabbath. That's pretty absurd. I don't know if they are the most absurd ones or not, but they're pretty absurd. We think about them. But if we think about the history of our own country, drawing it way up here into more modern times, not our modern time, but more modern times, the history of our own country, the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, was held in high regard. The Lord's Day was set aside. It has been said that a sea captain returned to his home in Massachusetts after an absence of 2 years, and he met his wife at the gate and he kissed her. But it was not lawful to kiss his wife on the Sabbath. Therefore, that wicked captain was put into stocks. That's high respect for the Lord's Day, isn't it? That's held in high esteem. Jonathan Edwards, the old time Jonathan Edwards, said, once resolved never to utter anything humorous on the Lord's Day. Guess he wouldn't have been preaching from these notes. Boy, there's just so many things that come to mind here. Moody, according to Moody, the Sabbath was binding in Eden. And God rested on the seventh day and has been in force ever since. Moody. D.L. Moody. atheist Voltaire. He was an atheist. I don't know if he was an atheist at his death or not, but he was a man that studied history and wanted to know history and wanted to see history. He read a lot about history, and down through the centuries of time, down a long time, Voltaire, he was an atheist. He said, "I can never hope to destroy Christianity until I first destroy the Christian Sabbath." Now that speaks volumes to me. I can never hope to destroy Christianity until I first destroy the Christian Sabbath. Another man from England said, "Tell me what the young men of England are doing on Sunday, and I will tell you what the future of England will be." Too many in our day are not interested in keeping the Lord's Day holy, but only in getting in their recreation, their pleasure. What is to be done on the Lord's Day? And I see that time is, wow. Time has slipped away. That's a good place to stop, don't you think? Pick up another time. I was afraid it'd take me three times, and here it is. What is to be done on the Lord's Day? What should a person do? Come back next year and we'll finish it. Is that good enough? Is that acceptable? Thank you for your attendance and attention. Let's stand together. Remind you, I think I've told you before, that I was at a revival meeting where Melvin Beecher was preaching over at Vincennes. And he preached, I forget what it was, 45 minutes to an hour. And he had people stand up, thought it was time to dismiss. Preached for another 10 minutes or so and had them sit back down and preach for another 30. So go ahead and sit. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But he did that, though. I was there. Those are good memories, I guess. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. God help me. God help me. Trust you have a good week this week. Walk with the Lord. Let the light of heaven shine through us. Greet somebody. Merry Christmas. Maybe have an opportunity. You never know what will trigger an opportunity to talk about Jesus. I meant to share this last week before we go. I was in Velma's and Deborah walked in, and I spoke. It was the week after the Christmas program, I believe, or maybe it was the day after. And I commented to her about her hard work in providing the food, and we chatted just for a little bit, and she went on her way. And there was two guys, I think it was just two guys, sitting right at another table, and they said, "Well, you know, what was that all about? What did she do? What was going on?" And I said, "Well, Christmas program at our church, and she was in charge of the food, and it was just a phenomenal spread of food and great time." And what church is that? And I had the opportunity to share with them, talk to them about Jesus, talk to them about God, talk to them about the church. You just never know what kind of opportunities are presented if we are, I'm not saying that I don't miss some. I know I miss some. So don't think I'm being hard on you, because you miss one. But just remember, there's opportunities to share if we hear, if we listen, if we have our eyes open. I don't know. Maybe those two guys will show up sometime. It's hard to say. Let's share Jesus this week. Amen. Ben Bridges, would you dismiss us in prayer?